When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Icarus, the Reality with Shane Jones.
What is up, inquirers, and welcome to the expanse of deep open-minded conversation. I'm the one they call Shane. And on today's episode, we dive into the whole concept of spiritual wellness and meditation. And as far as meditation goes, kind of removing some of the previous connotations as far as what meditation is exactly, because a lot of people out there, they try to meditate, they're not exactly sure if they're doing it right. So today's guest kind of clears that up for everybody. And before we get into this conversation today, we of course have to do the news and updates and the front of house stuff. So guys, first and foremost, don't forget that I will be vending at Small Town Monster Fest 2. That'll be happening June 29th in downtown Canton, Ohio at the Doubletree by Hilton. Kids 12 and under are free. Everybody else, you guys will have to make sure you scoop yourself a ticket. If you guys are planning on coming, let me know, because I'd love to be able to know you by name and face and be able to say what's up to you. And for that one, it's going to be the full crew. It's going to be me. It's going to be Oren. It's going to be Gabby, Jenny. It's going to be all of us. We're going to be hanging out. We're going to be having a good time. And I'm looking forward to hanging out and meeting all you guys there, hopefully. And moving into the front of house stuff, of course, if you guys enjoy the show and think that I've earned a 5-star rating, please leave those 5-star ratings on iTunes and across any other podcatcher that you might find. That's the best way to keep boosting up the show, make it so that it's more seen by more people, makes it so that the show can continue to keep expanding, growing the community, getting bigger guests on the show, all of that kind of stuff. But none of that will happen without your guys' help. And of course, if you guys leave a 5-star review, I will read on the show and give you guys a big shout out. And don't forget to follow Inquiries of All Reality and Open Minds Media on Instagram and on Facebook. And while you're at it, if you want to join a community of open-minded individuals, you guys can always go and check out the Open Minds Media community on Discord. And for video content for all of my shows, you guys can check out Open Minds Media on YouTube and on TikTok. And speaking of those shows, if you guys haven't checked out my other show, Bizarre Encounters, that I do with my awesome co-host Oren Felix, highly recommend going and checking that out. Bit different than this show in the aspect that it's a lot more of our deep dives. We do have some interviews in the mix, but for the most part, it's a bunch of different stuff that we dive into. And we've been hitting a lot of really obscure stuff lately. Not a lot of other podcasters are talking about. So we're trying to mix it up a bit. Definitely hope you guys are checking out that show and enjoying that show too. And we do have another side show that we do off of that, which is called Bizarre Inquiries. And over there, we take in listener questions and we let our minds wander into some open-minded conversation. So if anybody has any questions that they would like to submit for that show, you guys can get a hold of me through social media, email, any other way that you guys can find me online, of course. And if anybody has any encounters to report, you guys can report those to omm.encounterreports@outlook.com, or you guys can go to the link tree and there is a specific submission form for that. I don't care how big, I don't care how small, whether it's UFO, cryptid, paranormal, strange, anomalous phenomenon happening to you, all of that, I would absolutely love to hear about it. And you guys can either type it out or you guys can record yourselves and email that to me. And depending on what you want to do with it, I'd like to make some episodes where it's a compilation of your guys' experiences and Oren and I talking about it. And of course, if you guys send in the text ones, we can read those on those and we can also read them in episodes. And I mean, at the simplest, if you guys don't want your encounter shared with anybody, you just want somebody to talk to that isn't going to look at you like you're crazy, I'm always here for that too. Just let me know, of course, and nobody will hear your story if you don't want them to. And depending on where you're located, I might even be able to possibly come out and investigate it myself, but none of that will happen unless you guys report those encounters to OMM Encounter Reports at Outlook.com. And if you guys want to support the show, a couple different ways to do so. Number one, best way of supporting the show is through the Patreon. I recently updated the tiers yet again because I recently had to switch over to using Zoom instead of Riverside. So currently, at least, I'm not doing the lives of the show, but the video content is still available. But yeah, there's a lot of new benefits over there. Definitely recommend going and checking them out. There is a 7-day free trial for the $3 tier and the $5 tier if you guys want to see what it's all about before you guys permanently sign up. And to all the people that are current Patreon members, I really appreciate you guys, and I wouldn't be able to do all this kind of stuff without you. And another way you guys can support the show is through the Open Minds Media merch store. Over there, you'll find stuff for Inquiries of Reality, Bizarre Encounters, Bizarre Inquiries, and a bunch of other designs that I've done that don't have podcast logos on them. There's stuff pertaining to UFOs, cryptids, paranormal, all of that kind of fun stuff. And I'm still, of course, working on some new designs I'm going to upload over there soon, so make sure you guys keep your eyes peeled over there for that. And if you guys want to scoop something from the OMM merch store, you guys can use code CRYPTID10 to the end of this month. I've extended it past April, of course, and you guys can, again, receive 10% off. And if you guys go and join the Patreon, there is different promo codes depending on which tier you pick. Those are always available. So if you're thinking about checking out the Patreon and you're thinking about going and checking out the merch store, definitely recommend signing up for the Patreon first and getting some of those exclusive merch store discounts. And if anybody is interested in podcast or audio book production services, you guys can shoot me a message through Open Minds Media, something I'm trying to look into to be able to expand my portfolio and help out with finances around the house and everything. So if anybody's interested in working something out, let me know. Whether you're just starting a podcast or you already have a podcast and you want to make stuff easier for yourself, or if you're an author, again, that simply just wants an audiobook, get a hold of me and we can work something out. And of course, I have to give a shout out to all of the sponsors of the show / friends in the community. So definitely go and check out I Know Squatch for all of your squatchy gear needs. And you guys can also go and check out Cryptotheology for all of your wearable cryptid favorites. And you guys can always check out Snarly Gow for a fantastic smoky cedar with a hint of mint, beard oil, beard balm, and different other natural body products. I use the beard balm and the beard oil every day. Absolutely love them. They're my absolute favorite out of all the different stuff I've tried. So I definitely recommend going and checking that out. And Dave over there, he's always throwing fantastic events near the West Virginia area. More often than not, a lot of them are free to attend. So if you guys are around that area, you guys are looking for something to do on a weekend, they're always family friendly. So you guys can always check that out. I know he has a list up. And one of the events is that I will be is the Cryptid Halloween event that I spoke at last year. And Oren and I will be returning again this year, and we will be speaking and, of course, emceeing the event. So that's going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully I'll be able to see a lot of you guys out there. And moving into the affiliate links, if you guys haven't checked out the newest sponsor of the show, Orgonite, definitely recommend checking out all of the fantastic pieces he does over there, all relating to taking in negative energy and putting out positive energy. And depending on what you're looking for it for, he does make different versions. There's one for productivity, for happiness, all that kind of cool stuff. And if you guys are interested in picking one up for yourself, you guys can use promo code OMM at checkout for 10% off. And to all the paranormal investigators out there, always recommend going and checking out the Chattergeist. It is the all-in-one paranormal investigating device. Barry's always making new patches, new updates for it over there. And Barry does run the Dimension Devices page on Instagram. So if you guys have any technical questions about it whatsoever before you make your purchase, you guys can always hit him up over there and he'll be able to answer any of those questions for you guys. And if you guys are planning on scooping one, you guys can use the affiliate link. And that will get you 10% off at checkout. And just so everybody knows, it's in pounds because he is over in the UK, but it does convert. So don't be discouraged by the fact that the website is in pounds. And again, using those affiliate links greatly goes back towards helping the show. And I appreciate you guys for using them. And every single thing that I mention is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, let's get into the show. Please welcome back to the show, Mira Taylor, wellness practitioner. How's it going today?
It's going very well. Thank you. It's hard to believe, as we were talking before the show, how long it's been since I've been on. It actually doesn't feel like it had been as long as you had said that it had been, but time flies when you're having fun.
I mean, this is going to be episode 224, and the last time you were on was like episode 9, so you were like one of the early original guests. So
I was one of the first guests with you.
That was back when I wasn't even really doing complex cover art or anything like that. It was just like a basic picture of you on the cover. I mean, if anybody wants to go check it out, it's episode number 9, but that's so far in the past that I feel like the show has probably changed a lot since then, and I'm sure both of us have obviously changed a lot as people since then too. I mean, me definitely, and I'm sure you look a lot different. I'm sure you've had a lot of new experiences that have happened in the past 2 years, so.
Yeah, I have very different hair now. I had much longer hair then. There's been a lot that's gone on. I didn't have as much of a focus on the theology as I do now, or the mindfulness, so I'm happy to get into all of those sorts of things with you this time around.
So I guess a good spot to start, since it's been so long since you've been on the show, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners now may not have been around since episode 9. Why don't you let everybody know a little bit about yourself, a little bit about what you do, and a little bit about your work?
So I'm a wellness practitioner, and I do spiritually integrative therapy through my business, Moon and Rune Wellness. And basically the point of the difference with that sort of therapy being spiritually integrative is that it includes a sense of spirituality into the therapy. So most people know about average talk therapy, and they know about what it means to, you know, sit down and speak with a therapist and kind of talk about your feelings and things like that. This goes a little bit deeper and has to do with kind of really doing the work. So this has to do with getting into your subconscious and getting into things like generational traumas, and not just sort of the surface layer talk therapy kind of stuff.
So just out of curiosity, what exactly got you into it where you decided to kind of go down this work? Was it something that you kind of had spirituality within like your family, or was it something you kind of stumbled upon all on your own?
How does any therapist stumble upon the fact that they want to be a therapist? They need it themselves. So I needed something that was spiritually integrative, and it really wasn't out there. So I kind of brought it upon myself to build my own space for it and really delve into what it means to be someone who helps folks with their mental health, but that focuses on the sense of it that's so connected to the understanding that psyche and spirit are rooted in the same word. Psyche is actually the original word for spirit. And so the fact that psychology is spiritology, basically, is something that just felt like it was really missing from modern psychology for me as far as mental wellness is concerned.
And then from like last time you've been on the show versus you now, you said your work has changed a little bit. How have you kind of like changed and furthered your work just in the past 2 years or so?
So I got deeply into meditation. And I think the biggest difference is that now I am very focused on helping folks get to a place where meditation feels easy for them because of how beneficial it is. And also just helping folks get to a place where mindfulness is a precedent that they actually follow instead of just one that they talk about. So we kind of talked before the show about how there are folks that have those Instagrams where, you know, they post all the posts about mindfulness and meditation, but they never actually do those things. So a lot of my focus now, especially with my own social media, is to help folks with things like points of contemplation that really give them something as a starting block to get them on the path of true mindfulness or true meditation, instead of just being someone that kind of like talks about it and never does it for themselves.
So say somebody has never meditated before, and you're kind of going to give them a rundown, like a synopsis and how you'd go about meditating. Why don't you kind of give them like a rundown on like what your process is and how you feel would be the best way for somebody to meditate who may be a beginner to it?
So the first thing is that for a lot of folks, you know, people get into meditation and they go, okay, I'm going to make my mind silent. Good luck to you. It's never going to happen the first time around. And a lot of people think that they fail at meditation because they fail at getting their mind to be silent when they first start. Even for me now, as deeply meditative as I am, and I meditate sometimes for hours a day, you need to find the silence in the meditation sometimes. It's not always there for you. So I actually posted something the other day about reaching for the silence in the noise. And meditation is a lot about that. So one of the things that I might start with for someone is just a point of contemplation is for them to think about, what does silence feel like? And the reason I would start with something like this is that it gets them really grounded and it gets them really thinking about their body and what it means to feel silence. Even when you're not in a silent room, you can sort of feel silence, or you know what it feels like from previous measure in your life. If you've ever been in a quiet room, or if you've ever been in a place that felt truly, truly kind of silent to you. Of course, most people have never been in true pure silence because it actually can drive you kind of crazy. There are special scientists have like created very specific rooms that are noise deconstructing, basically, so that even when you like clap your hands, it is like a sound vacuum and it doesn't let you hear the noise. But regardless of that, people have an idea of what silence is. And so a lot of times it's about getting people grounded. You know, meditation can be, for lack of a better word, a flighty thing. It's sort of like a budding rabbit in a field. You know, you think that you're going to catch it and then all of a sudden it darts off again when you think that you've finally gotten to someplace with it. So instead of chasing the bunny, it's kind of about thinking about how you can just watch it or observe it. The more you try to chase it, the harder it's going to get. So it's just something that, you know, for a lot of folks, they try it once or twice. They can't get their mind quiet those first couple of times and they go, oh, whatever, it's fine. I don't need to try meditation. And like I said, even still to this day, it's not necessarily quiet for me when I meditate. You have to reach for it sometimes, or you have to feel for it.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are back, so let's hop right in. See, when it comes to like meditation too, it's one of those things that I've always tried to do, but I've always questioned whether or not I've actually ever done it properly. So I've kind of gotten into these different ideas of like just things that kind of like zen yourself, for example. And I feel like they kind of have somewhat of the same effects as like what meditation would have on the brain. Like for me, for example, like I keep like a fish tank and I like watching the fish swim around. And when you watch the fish swim, it kind of just like balances you and like centers you and almost quiets you in a different way. But more so off of like visually watching something and kind of getting in sync with it versus like getting in sync with yourself with through like meditation. But at least like from your opinion, do you feel that both of those would kind of have like the same benefit, or do you think that meditation, for example, would have like more of a benefit to somebody?
So there's absolutely no reason you can't meditate with your eyes open. Okay. So you being very mindful of the fish tank and being totally in correspondence with it, where basically nothing else exists, is meditative. There are a lot of people who would think that that's not meditative just because your eyes are open, but it is truly something that's meditative. Now, what makes it not meditative, much like the bunny in the field, is if you try to go and catch one of those fish by hand, thinking that that's meditation. That's not meditation. That's just something that's meant to drive you crazy, right? But that's basically the difference, is that what you are doing truly is, and it's interesting that you don't want to define it as such, or that there's some sort of, a lot of people get imposter syndrome about meditation, which is sort of fascinating, why the mind wants to do that. And I've been doing a lot of observance of desire and will and control lately in meditation, and just seeing what passes through. It's always fascinating to see or to experience. You know, every time you think about your cousin or something, all of a sudden you're hungry. Why? You know, and so these are sorts of just things to tease out. But the reality is that there's so many people that have the imposter syndrome about it, kind of like you were saying that you have, as far as, oh, I'm not really meditating. Don't always put it a day away. That's meditation, what you're doing with the fish. Don't go grabbing for them thinking that that's meditation, because it's not. That being said, if you're in a meditative mindset, it might be easier to grab the fish. You know, we're not going to take the scene from Mulan where they they're diving their hands into the water to grab the fish as a part of their, it's like one of the tests that they do, basically. But, you know, it's something where I just want people to feel like it's tangible to them. And I want them to feel like it's approachable and like it's doable and accept the fact that they may have already done it and just define it away from themselves.
See, I think it's one of those things that like so many different people have so many ideas of like what meditation is. Like you hear about, if you really dive into like the spiritual aspect of it, you hear about all like the monks that'll like go to other astral planes and things, and they'll like feel like they're existing within like another realm. So I feel like a lot of people are kind of using that as like a standard of comparison. And if they're not doing that, they don't feel like they're doing it properly. And then on like the non-spiritual side of meditation, the people that are kind of just doing it for the sake of just kind of centering and like bringing kind of peace to themselves, it's like their idea of it is just pretty much like utter silence, complete blackness, just absolute nothingness, and just existing within that. So it's just, I think it's one of those things that there's so many just different mixed ideas of what meditation
you see how
is.
It's constantly getting the piece that is, I am meditating, is constantly getting moved around the board to some new space that says, I'm not meditating. And by the way, comparing yourself to Buddhist monks who have literally dedicated their lives to something is like going to a dance class for the first time and not, you know, like you went to a hip hop dance class and you couldn't do all the moves that the hip hop dancer who's been dancing for 20 years dedicatedly was able to do. Not really a fair standard, right? So, you know, think about it that way. If you went to any other class, if you went to any other expert, you wouldn't be comparing yourself, hopefully, if you're kind to yourself, you wouldn't be comparing yourself to that expert so quickly without the realization that it's taken them a lot of dedicated time to get to that point in place for themselves.
Just with a kind of an expanded view on the idea of like meditation, something that I've been kind of fascinated by, just kind of diving into different things lately, the whole concept of like a flow state, for example. And I feel like a flow state would be somewhat meditative for others, maybe not for other people, kind of depending on, I guess, what you're doing theoretically. But like the whole idea about it is basically you're doing something that you're challenging yourself to be better at it, but it's not something that's too complicated where you get frustrated at it. And it's not something that's too simple where you get bored of it. So like kind of going by different examples of what meditation would be like, would you consider a flow state to be like meditating to a certain extent?
Absolutely. So I do art pieces. Here's one that's started and I get in flow state very quickly with them. It's a part of why I do them as much as I do. And it's a completely meditative experience. So when you might also call it being in the zone with something, right? It's very similar to how the fish work for you, where it's the dedicated focus and all other things can kind of quiet away from it. Now, flow state's an interesting thing because you can't necessarily be in it all the time, but you can kind of get addicted to it. So that's the thing I would say to be careful of with flow state, because as you awaken into what flow state is, you know, just like you sleep at night, as far as spiritual awakening is concerned, there's sort of awake and more asleep mode that happens with spirituality with that as well. So with flow state, just be mindful of that. You can get addicted to it to the point where you sort of become manic about it. But it's actually, you know, something you aren't necessarily going to get it everywhere you want in life, but where you can get it, I would. So excellent places to set up flow state. Another excellent place for flow state is with cooking. I know a lot of people that like doing cooking with that, or actually just reading, reading and doing art, dance. I longboard sometimes. These are all really excellent ways to appreciate flow state.
I mean, just to throw in another example too, because I know I have a pretty good listener base that's more into like the cryptid side of stuff. And there are a lot of like hunters and like fishermen and stuff. I mean, even within that too, I mean, when you're hunting and you're kind of sitting peacefully in the woods, listening to the sounds of things, and when you're fishing and you're just one with nature, kind of just listening to the sounds and everything, I mean, that's meditating too, to its own extent. I mean, that's why those hobbies become so addicting to people, is just because they get that sense of peace. And I mean, just considering that, I mean, it seems like it's definitely something that's like addictive and something that's definitely needed by the human soul, that everybody's driven to it in their own way. It's just a matter of finding what idea or method of meditation ends up working the best for you and what's most comfortable for you and where you can just find your complete peace and comfort within yourself and not have to worry about outside factors anymore.
Absolutely. So, you know, again, that's that point I was talking about with you earlier where, oops, the piece is always getting moved around the board because the fisherman says, that's not meditation, I'm fishing. But you and I both know that they can get into a meditative mindset, basically, with what they're doing, especially with flow state. So what's interesting is that there's multitudes of ways to meditate, too. You can use points of contemplation. Like I said, the one that I normally would give people as a starter one is, how do you, what does silence feel like to you? Just to make it tangible. Or the one I posted today, how can you listen with your whole body and all of your senses? So how can you listen with touch? How can you listen with smell? How can you listen, obviously, with hearing? But how can you listen with taste? Or how can you listen with taste? Because the air can taste like something, for example. But it's just to give people something to do that grounds them. Because for whatever reason, like I said, meditation can be this flighty, airy thing. Where the other metaphor they give is, it's kind of like holding a butterfly in your hand. So you don't grab the butterfly, right? Because you're going to crush it. You can kind of crush your meditative availability if you try to grasp at it too tightly. So everything that I do to kind of help people get there with those things is also mainly so that they can explore their own mind and feel comfortable in that. So one of the other really interesting things about astral experience or about meditative experience is that you can create these things called paracosms in your mind, which are basically like rooms or realities that you set up very intentionally as storehouses for yourself, or as a place to keep memories or sort of organize your thoughts, but in a very visually driven way. Have you ever heard of paracosms?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
So there's a, you know, you can set up your own. I have a friend who's a huge Harry Potter fan who uses the memory pool from Harry Potter, the same exact setup, actually, in her mind. But it's basically just creating a reality where you can deal with something more easily without it feeling like it's constantly running in your subconscious. So another one you could do is, let's say you had a really bad childhood trauma. You could do something like have a quiet room that feels very comfortable to you where the trauma is on. Like if there's a specific trauma, like a fight or something that happened in your childhood, you could put some sort of visual effect on a VHS tape and put the VHS tape in a TV, and you only access it whenever you're ready to hit play on the TV. And that way it's sort of cornered in your mind and it's compartmentalized, but in a healthy way and in a way where it's accessible to you.
I'm glad that you brought this up, actually, because I recently had Adam Butler on, and we were talking about basically like the DMT experience and like all of the different realizations that you come to as far as that goes, and just people dealing with like their trauma and really learning how to cope and be comfortable within yourself. It's one of those things that I feel like you can't talk about enough, that everybody is always scared of being alone with their thoughts. And they're always just on this journey, just always trying to get away from their thoughts. They're trying to, you know, keep busy with this hobby, do this, do that, not realizing that the only way you're ever going to be able to cope with those things is if you actually sit within it and you actually sort it out in your own mind. And I know I've talked about this a few times on the show as far as, you know, for some people, it definitely helps to be able to just talk to like a standard therapist about their problems. But for the other side of people, it's more beneficial to learn how to do things like you're kind of saying, such as meditating, where you can kind of sit within your own thoughts and sort stuff out yourself, because then you kind of have like that unbiased filter taken out, where even if you're talking to like a therapist, you may not want to mention every single gritty detail of something. But if you're talking to somebody that's actually teaching you how to kind of deal with your own thoughts in your own way, then you're actually able to kind of get to the root of a lot of these problems and not feel like you're judged no matter what. Because I mean, even if you're talking to a therapist, I mean, to a certain extent, you're still talking to another person. You do feel judged to a certain extent. So again, sometimes I feel like it's better to just kind of give people the tools and let them sort it out themselves, because just too many people are scared of their own thoughts nowadays and they just don't want to sit in it, not realizing how beneficial it can really be.
Yeah. So that is not at all what meditation is about. If you are doing meditation to run away from your thoughts, again, good luck to you. The whole point of meditation is to get more attuned with and more comfortable with your own mind and your own thoughts so that you can become a player within it instead of just something that's getting tossed around like a rag doll in an ocean. And that's how a lot of people feel about meditation when they first start, I would say, is they kind of feel like a rag doll in the ocean or a buoy in the ocean just getting thrown around. But you have to sit with that for a little bit. And you can do, you know, you can observe within yourself how you feel about your own thoughts. That's another way you can sort of create a healthy compartmentalization that lets you get a little distant but and impersonal, but in a way that lets you get really psychologically present with whatever's happening in your mind.
I've always heard this analogy that you almost kind of have to think of your thoughts as like passing cars when you meditate, that they're not necessarily representing you, but they're your first initial thoughts that are getting thrown in your head before they get filtered out of your mouth, theoretically. So like not all of them represent you. They're just your raw emotions that are kind of throwing ideas and everything at you. So when you're actually sitting and meditating, rather than being scared of all your thoughts, it's always good to just kind of like look at them as, again, as like passing cars and listen to them for what they are, but know that they don't necessarily represent you. They're just your emotions that are speaking to you in the most raw form and fashion.
Well, and sometimes they're not even your emotions. Sometimes they're just emotion. So, you know, the thing I would say about the passing car thing is sometimes meditation feels like you're on a traffic jam on the beltway. And that just is what it is. Just like you would sit through that, you can sit through it in meditation. But you know, basically when it comes to things like my emotion or my thought, those become sort of distant players when you start to really meditate, because you realize that you're just a vessel for experience. So it's not to say that you can't be in a place where they are your emotions and you choose those emotions. And I would say meditation really helps you choose emotions instead of just being this sort of bag in the wind to emotion. But meditation helps you kind of install the observer effect that lets you go, oh, that's not my emotion. That's just emotion. It's just passing through like a car. So you can own that car if you want, or at the very least, you can lease it, right? You can borrow that or work with that emotion as it passes by if you so choose. But before meditation, it's this thing where you sort of are really thrown around like a bag in the wind by it, where it just sort of picks you up and takes you. And meditation gets you in that place where you get to actually really sit there and decide how you want to feel about things instead of just feeling like you are sort of mastered by feeling itself.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. And we are back, so let's hop right in. Just out of curiosity, because it does tend to come up a lot when it comes to like meditation, the whole idea of like using psychedelics, for example, while meditating, and that is also expanding to like cannabis, for example, because technically that does fall underneath the cannabis family. But what's kind of your opinion as far as that stuff goes? Do you think that it's like a good thing because it can kind of throw people into the raw if they are the right type of person for that? Or are you one of the people that feel that it's better to just kind of do all this stuff on your own and not actually use any like psychedelic substances in the means of meditating?
I think that psychedelics have their place in psychology and certainly in meditation, but I don't think that that's something that people should lean on. So if you need to get high to meditate and you always have to get high to meditate, that's a problem. You should be able to access that state of consciousness without the assistance. That being said, always be careful with psychedelics, because basically what you're doing is you're opening a door. And I actually learned the hard way with this. So I speak to people pretty vehemently about it, because you really need to be careful about what doors you open and with what psychedelics, and also ensuring that you have a guide with you. So the thing I would say is do it in a professional setting, and just be mindful of what doors you're opening. And the fact that doors might open that let in things that are not so fun to deal with. And that's why you have someone like a guide or a coach or a therapist there to help you through it instead of getting kind of whirlwinded by it.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I definitely wouldn't recommend it for everybody. And I definitely don't think that people should use it as like a crutch, for example, to be able to meditate. But it's just more so for the people that want to get farther into the experience where they kind of want to get rid of their own like personal ego and get into those in-depth areas of meditating. Like I've definitely always seen that stuff more as like a tool rather than like a recreational drug, for example, just because you can do so much with it, but you have to respect it, use it properly, and not just go off the rails with it and expect that, you know, it's going to fix all your problems. It's one of those things that it's just time and place, and it's one of those things that's only meant for specific people. But those specific people that need it, sometimes it's what they need, I feel, to kind of get to those really deep, darker aspects of their mind that they kind of want to be able to sort through. Because again, it kind of drops out the human ego in the aspect of even within your own mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't necessarily promote the use of tobacco, for example. But that being said, tobacco is a plant, and it is actually technically a psychedelic, if you work with it in the right context, that has shown me very deep truths in my mind. Like it gets you to truths very quickly, which is something that you should have a guide or a therapist for, because they're not always fine. Marijuana is one that I would say be very mindful of, because that can open bigger doors than people give it credit for. But the reality is that it's very good for somatic engagement with mindfulness or meditation. So basically that would be a meditation where you're very body focused and very grounded and very earthed, and where you're trying to associate touch or feeling or pain or pleasure in the body to where it correlates in your mind. So let's say you have a pain in your shoulder and you decide to work with marijuana for meditation, where you palpate around the shoulder. And as you're palpating around the shoulder, you're very, very mindful about where your mind goes and why. You might, you know, oops, hit a trigger point, and all of a sudden your mind goes to some childhood trauma and you realize that that's why that pain is there. But the other reason I say to be careful of using them too much is that they lose their efficacy for you in doing stuff like that. So those are the two that are probably the most common that people have worked with. Tobacco is used very regularly with ayahuasca as a precursory psychedelic. And I know, again, it's sort of funny to think of it as a psychedelic, but it actually really is. Technically, it's a diuretic too.
I mean, when they used to use it for the peace pipe, the whole idea was it would make everybody just kind of mellow out and kind of think and sit. Like the tobacco we have nowadays versus what it used to be in the past. Or if you get some honest, yeah, and pure tobacco.
I'm talking about straight tobacco. I'm not talking about like a cigarette.
Yeah, you know, like
there's a huge difference.
At one point, I got some tobacco sent to me that was supposed to be blessed from some shamans in like Peru, and it was like some straight leaf tobacco. And it's completely different than what most people have as an idea of tobacco.
And you know what? I'm sure if you worked with it, it got you to a place where you found some really deep truths about yourself. Did you work with it at all?
Yeah, actually, I used it a little bit for that, but I was mainly using it a little bit for kind of mixing in with like incense and stuff. But yeah, it was it's like a kind of like a heavier kind of feeling, and in turn from it being like a little bit heavier, it kind of silences stuff in your mind and kind of puts you into like a different place, because you're just more body fixed, mellowed out, rather than like head mellowed out like you'd get from like cannabis, for example. Like I know people get, of course, like the body high, but when it comes to tobacco, it's all just mellow body more so than anything. You just want to sit and just calm down and relax.
Yes, I would agree with that.
But so kind of diving into kind of the spirituality aspect of this too, just because we're already kind of on the topic of like psychedelics. I know everybody kind of has their own different ideas as far as like spirituality goes. But when you go into, for example, meditating with psychedelics, do you kind of believe in the other possibly existing realm that people talk about that's kind of connected with psychedelics? And in turn, if you do kind of believe in that aspect of stuff, do you think that that type of stuff would affect what the person was trying to dive into? Because if there are other outside forces that are kind of pushing you in a different direction, even if you have one idea going in to meditate with it, if there's an external force, it's going to push you to kind of wherever you theoretically need to be or wherever it wants you to go.
So the thing I would say is, you know, they talk a lot about resistance with meditation and letting go of resistance. But there are some forces that you should be, you know, resistant of. For example, I resist desire. I may be sitting in meditation and get a pang, like a hunger pain. Is that really mine or is it just passing through? So that would be a proper resistance, basically. But it's interesting that you ask about external forces versus internal forces, because this would be another really interesting point of contemplation, actually, for someone is to realize that those bounds don't really exist. What's external and internal to you as psychological forces are one and the same. So anything that feels like it's pressing in on you is already an internal force within your psychology that is basically trying to maneuver its way into the front of your conscious mind. So the subconscious will feel like maybe an external force as it pushes its way up into your conscious mind, but it's an important thing to work with and realize and think about whether or not it's truly an external force or if it's something that's really rooted in you from an internal place, especially from things like childhood trauma.
So kind of mixing it up a little bit. So as far as, say, somebody needed to be able to meditate in order to kind of clear their mind, clear their thoughts when they're in like a stressful situation, and more often than not, people are in those stressful situations while they're at work. Do you have any suggestions for somebody that might kind of need a moment of contemplation when they're in like a stressful environment? Just kind of give people an opportunity to be able to get away, sort their thoughts out possibly.
So the thing I would say is deep breathing is the thing that's going to help you the most. So anything that lets your chest breathe very deeply in and out, and also belly breathing, but 10 second intervals of deep chest breathing along with belly breathing, just to make your breath your focus and your control point, is something that's incredibly beneficial. So a lot of times when we're feeling stressed out by things, it's because we feel like we don't have control over anything. And the thing that you have immediate control over always, in most cases, unless you're in a really tough spot, is your body and your breath. You can control how fast or slow you breathe. You can control the way that you breathe. You can control the way that your body is sitting when you breathe. And so that's the one I always recommend as an easy go-to that doesn't take anything extra to really help you get into a meditative place. The other thing that I talk with folks a lot is emotional freedom or tapping technique. And some folks have seen this, but it's basically a science that was created by a woman named Candice Pert, who was the woman who actually originally figured out the genuine connection between the mind and the body. Psychologically, she actually proved it scientifically. But with tapping, you basically have for example, this is called the karate chop point. And you basically are tapping on endpoints of the central nervous system to kind of wake up very specific parts of your brain. And there's all sorts of algorithms you can like walk through. These are some of the points that I know just simple go through. And these are things that I go through with some of my clients. I've set up whole sessions basically to do EFT, emotional freedom technique, with people. But they're simple tools that are always available to you that lets you really get in tune with yourself. This is the one that I would say is the easy go-to, and it's usually with, it's reverse on the screen, but usually with your left hand, and you literally just take two or three of your fingers, whichever is easiest, and you, against the side of your palm, pretty, I wouldn't say aggressively, but with a decent amount of weight behind it. And basically this activates your central nervous system and your subconscious intellect to a place where it goes, oh, we are stressed. We need to do something to decrease dopamine, basically, or I'm sorry, increase dopamine. And we need to deal with the adrenaline, because there's usually adrenaline that happens. So it's basically something that evens you out. But again, the breathing is the simple one that everyone can go to because it's the point of control that we almost always have.
So considering that we talked about meditation, you're talking about these points of contact. I mean, assumably they're just one of many tools that you kind of have in your arsenal as far as like spiritual wellness goes. What are some other tools and methods that you could recommend to people as far as like trying to get in tune with themselves?
You know, I would say find the different ways that you can meditate. So we're talking about meditation, and everyone, I think, is thinking about sitting cross-legged with their eyes closed, and we already sort of touched on that. But even going for a walk, being out in nature, I would say that's the thing that's the most important for everyone, is that if you don't have enough time out in nature, please, please get out in nature. The other simple ways you can meditate is even doing something like a puzzle. You know, it's kind of a cliche thing to do, but those puzzles that are like the 900-piece puzzles that you see in family tables that are left out for everyone to kind of play with whenever they have time, awesome way to deal with stress and provide yourself with stress relief and be mindful and present. Anything that lets you be mindful and present, basically. And that can be anything from doing a puzzle to cooking to artwork to dance. Dance is one that I actually really recommend to people because it helps with energy flow, and it also helps you just loosen up spiritually. It helps with confidence. It helps you feel more courageous as a part of your own entunement with your body. It helps you feel like you have more control over it. But you can also do things like Qigong. If you've ever heard of Qigong, it's basically working with energy flow and Qi to maneuver energies around and through your body that are present in an environment around you.
I think it's one of those things that people just have to find what their particular thing is that really helps them get to that perfect point of being able to express themselves and also feel challenged at the same time. Like, everybody needs a means of expression. And I mean, for a lot, like you were mentioning, it's like art, dance, painting. But a lot of people don't realize too, that even like writing a book, for example, can be another means of it. Having a conversation, doing like a podcast, things like that can definitely be means of being able to like clear your head and actually find some type of like artistic muse. Like, that's one of those other things that kind of has like a weird connotation to it, that when people think artistic muse, they think of something that's extremely creative, like, again, such as like drawing, painting, creating music, things like that. But there's a lot more that are art forms that give you that means of expression that aren't necessarily in that same creative wheelhouse, because I know not all people's minds work in that same expressive way, but everybody does have some means that their brain naturally wants to express itself. And that's another good thing to get in tune with yourself for, is to kind of figure out what that thing is, because everybody has that one thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, if your podcast is your flow state, that's a meditative experience for you. It doesn't mean that it's the same as the quiet meditations, the ones you do to quiet your mind and get you less stressed, but it does still provide those things for you because you're so focused and you're so present, usually.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. And we are back, so let's hop right in. I mean, even that, I mean, with people just being able to spend time with their kids and their family, I mean, that's meditating as it is too, because I mean, that's one of those times that you really are in the moment, especially if you're one of those people that tries to avoid phones, which seems to be a common thing now that people are kind of catching themselves and realizing that you're not present or in the moment when you're always on a phone. So people are starting to set specific times for that. But yeah, again, just spending time with your family, being present and putting the phone down if you're not one of those people will definitely help you start to achieve that state and actually start to sort your own mind out and own thoughts out, because you're not just always staring at something that's giving you a quick sense of satisfaction, like a like, a comment, or whatever on your social media.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I actually really recommend to folks, especially when you're starting your day, to be very intentional about staying away from social media for at least the first 30 minutes of your day. So, you know, make the cup of coffee, walk the dog, do all those morning routine things before you enter into a space where you're consuming that sort of information, because you're setting your tone for the day with your mind a lot of times in the morning, almost always. And if you start it with social media and basically overwhelm your brain, because it takes a little while for your brain to turn on in the morning. So I always remind folks of this, because within that first 30 minutes of waking up, your mind is not ready to consume much information. It's ready to do what it knows how to do automatically, which is the stuff like walking the dog or making the coffee, but it really doesn't know how to engage with other conscious logical, rational information for at least the first 30 minutes in the morning.
I mean, I definitely feel like I need longer than that, and I definitely need that coffee in the morning. Otherwise, my brain doesn't wake up at all. But, I mean, at least for in the morning, too, it's definitely one of those things that you also kind of have to find a way to be able to kind of take a moment to, like, peace and zen yourself in the morning. Because, I mean, for most people, it's that morning cup of coffee, sometimes even walking the dog, like you were mentioning. But if you wake up your morning and you're instantly in that stressful state of, like, all right, go, 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 then you're going to, again, set a tone for the rest of your day. And I mean, most people don't wake up with a bunch of time in the morning. So I mean, even just that couple minutes where you just have like your first cup of coffee and you just have like 2 minutes to yourself and you're able to kind of just clear your thoughts for the rest, for at least starting the morning, it can set like a whole different principle for like the total rest of your day. And again, everybody kind of has to find their like one little piece that they can take in the morning, even if it's only 2 minutes, to be able to just zen themselves and get ready for the day. I mean, for a lot of people, that's even just when your alarm clock goes off, you set the 5 minute snooze and you just lay there for 5 minutes. And that just kind of gives you those couple minutes to be able to just relax. Absolutely. And get into your day and ease into it, you know?
Absolutely. So these are things that are important for folks. You know, even while you're brushing your teeth, you can put yourself in a meditative place. So it's just the whole point of this conversation, basically, is to get people to realize that it really is this tangible, real thing that you can do, and not just something that you can share social media posts about, the meditation and the mindfulness, and that you don't have to start out an expert at it. You know, setting that standard for yourself basically makes it out of reach for you, and that's not what anyone wants for anyone with it, anyone who meditates. And it took me probably 3 to 4 years to get to the place that I am with meditation, and I do it every day, and I focus on it, and it's a focus of my life and my efforts in life with my business. And you know, that's with the mindful effort and intentional effort toward it every day for like 4.5 years, basically. So keep these things in mind for yourself. The reason I can meditate for an hour is because I've been doing it for a while. But that also doesn't mean that you have to set some crazy standard where you think that you're going to sit down and meditate for an hour. Start with 3 minutes. Literally start with 3 minutes. It's like a mini REM cycle. And you can even set a timer if you want on your phone. But basically just try and get present for 3 whole minutes. And then from there, start upping the intervals. Even if it's just a minute a day, 60 days in, you're already at an hour, right?
Just out of curiosity, because I know everybody has different opinions as far as like playing tones, different frequencies and stuff during meditation. One, do you think that's beneficial? Two, do you have specific tones or songs or anything like that you particularly use that you would recommend for somebody to use if they're, for example, like a beginner and they just need help kind of silencing their mind and getting into that state?
So I actually know a company that makes psychoactivating music. It's called Phi Tribe, and I'll share it with you so that other folks can participate in listening to it and downloading it. But the thing I would say is just be careful. There's a lot of stuff on YouTube that says that it's, you know, a certain frequency, or that says that it's a certain tone. And sometimes it's just some person that decided to pick a tone on the piano and put it on YouTube thinking it'll be popular. So be careful. The reason that I really like the Phi Tribe music is that it's actually basically medical grade. Frequencies, medical grade, psychoactive, engaging music. And it's made to be available to people in a lot of different genres. So it kind of has like the lo-fi vibe to it, which is very nice. But I would say just be careful with the random ones that you find on YouTube. Again, kind of like working with something like marijuana, those open doors, and certain frequencies may or may not be beneficial to you. So it's not a one-size-fits-all thing with frequencies or with what you listen to on YouTube. So watch where it takes your mind. Be mindful of it, is what I would say. If you sit and you meditate with it and it says it's supposed to be healing, but it constantly takes you to something that feels highly traumatic that you're not ready for, maybe turn it off. You know, is basically what I'd say. But just be aware of where it takes your mind when you work with them. Don't throw it on while you're sleeping the first time you ever work with it, because you have no idea where it's going to take you in the dream realms.
Have you ever heard of a band called Marconi Union by chance?
I have not, actually.
They, just another recommendation for some really good music for people to meditate to. I believe that they're like sound therapists or something like that. But they ended up creating a band where the whole idea behind it is that they use particular beats and frequencies in order to get people into certain trance states. Not in a woo trance state, but, they have one song called Weightless, and the whole idea behind it is that it's supposed to slow your heart rate and basically cause you to relax. And, they have a couple different other ones. They're all supposed to have different purposes, but they're kind of like this, lo-fi relaxed kind of electronic tone type music. It's definitely like melodic. It's not just like random sporadic tones or anything like that. But considering that it was created by people who do this kind of stuff professionally, just another really good recommendation as far as some music for people to listen to while trying to meditate. Because I used to always use Weightless. That was always like their really cool stuff. It's like 8 minutes long, so it's just really easy to be able to just kind of sit and mellow and kind of get one with the beats and the tones and everything. And I actually used to use it to help my kids fall, or my daughter fall asleep when she was little. And I'd play that song. By the end of the 8 minutes, she'd be so relaxed to the point where she would fall asleep. So, I mean, maybe be aware of the fact of not falling asleep while meditating, but might still be a good suggestion for somebody to use while meditating if they need to get quieted in order to meditate.
So I actually used to sit with a stone in one hand and either a pen or a kithing blade. And a kithing blade is basically, it's a blade that you would never use to cut anything except through time and space as you're working with it. But I used to sit literally with a stone and a blade, the stone in my hand, and the blade pressing against it, holding the stone in my hand to keep me from falling asleep. And it actually puts you in this really interesting tension point where the second you start to get a little bit sleepy, the stone's going to fall and you start to really wake up to that. So that's another thing I might suggest to folks is, and it can be a pen, it doesn't have to be a knife, but basically taking some sort of stone and some sort of item that you would press against it so that, and can do it in this hand too, but that basically keeps you from falling asleep, but that lets you get into a very, very sleepy state, actually, because it'll help you really delve into your subconscious.
That'll also kind of help with the whole idea of, like, again, feeling and being present, because assumably while you're doing it, you're feeling the sensations on your hand. So even if you're not somebody that needs to use it for falling asleep while meditating, just using it for the whole idea of, like, being focused on one specific point and being able to keep your focus in one place, it's multi-beneficial, assumably.
Absolutely. And you can usually pick some sort of stone that has some sort of quality to it that's grounding. Basically, you could use hematite, you could use labradorite, you could use onyx or tungsten. They're all stones that are meant to be very grounding and very, very stabilizing, basically. And so I think the one that I worked with mostly was labradorite, but it's very, very helpful basically to keep you from falling asleep, but letting you get into that sleepy state that really helps you access and enter some parts of your subconscious that maybe aren't as easy to get to if you're more conscious, if you're not as sleepy.
So also kind of diving towards the end a little bit, I want to kind of dive into a little bit more of your work. So if somebody, say they wanted to set something up with you, a session, whatever, what would people expect and how can people go about setting up a session with you? And also, what different types of sessions do you offer to people?
So I offer a range of modalities, and they're all on my website under therapy. I do everything from cognitive architecture remodeling, which is basically setting up different pathways with your thought patterns, to just regular talk therapy. But basically, what you would do is have an initial consult, and I charge $65 for the initial consult with folks, and it's about 30 to 45 minutes usually. And there's a set of questions that I tease out with you that allow me to get a better understanding of how your brain works, where you're at mentally, you know, where your starting point is with things like meditation, generational traumas, religious background, especially is one that I work with. But it gives me sort of a starting place for you. And then from there, we work together to go where you want to go. Actually, a lot of it's pretty self-guided. So when I have a client start, they may say that they don't know where they want to go. And so we would basically start with talk therapy until I can help tease out something that feels like a place that they want to get to with the therapy sessions. But that usually it's a tone set by the client to say, this is what I want to get to and why. And then we work out how we get there. So no two people are the same. Two people could say to me the same thing, that they both want to de-stress. And one of them might need deep subconscious generational trauma healing. And the other one might just need someone to talk to. So it's kind of hard to do the one size fits all stuff with it. But the thing I would recommend is going to my website, www.moonandrune.com, and exploring the different options for therapy and how they function. So cognitive remodeling therapy is the one that I do most often for folks, because a lot of folks have cognitive architectures that are set up that don't work for them, right? They have imposter syndrome. They have things that take away their confidence when they think about going for something in life. They have maybe some voices in their mind that aren't so kind, basically. And it's usually, you know, when I say a voice in your mind, it's basically something like imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is an unkind voice in your mind that doesn't belong there. But sometimes it's like one of your parents that's integrated into you that you don't even realize, or it's the generational trauma, what was integrated into your parent that was integrated into their parent that was integrated into their parent that they never really intended to let keep going down the line, but that did. So no two people are the same. Each approach is different and unique. And it basically gets about working together to get the client to a place where they actually really get excited about going to therapy, and they get excited about what it means to do the work, so that it doesn't feel so scary. A lot of people start into therapy and it feels like some cumbersome thing that they don't want to get into. But I have found that many of my clients actually really enjoy going to the therapy sessions.
And just out of curiosity, do you do online and in person, or just person, or just online, just so that people can kind of have a context
of
it?
I do remote therapy. And part of the reason I do remote therapy is basically because you get to set up your own space in your own house, and you get to have all of the stresses removed of what it means to go meet someone in person. So you don't have to worry about driving somewhere. You don't have to worry about sitting in some awkward waiting room. You can have your incense. You can have your books. You can have your crystals. You can have your candles. You can have you can have your pets. That's another actually really important aspect of doing the remote therapy that a lot of people don't realize, is being able to have your cat sit in your lap while you're having therapy can actually be extremely beneficial. As we're talking about different frequencies, I don't know if you knew this, but cats actually purr at a frequency that provides for healing and actually promotes bone density. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of really interesting science behind how cat purrs emanate out at a frequency that's actually very healing. So being able to have your pet at home is another thing that's really helpful to the remote therapy sessions. But I've just found that it helps people really be themselves and be comfortable and not feel like they have to show up and be or do something for a therapist. They can just be themselves.
Oh yeah, definitely. And also kind of expanding into people just being themselves. I know I have a wide range of listeners as far as like different beliefs and backgrounds. I know that they hear like spirituality and they kind of think of like a fully like new age kind of concept. But is your stuff friendly to people that are, for example, are like Christians, Buddhists, like just a range of different views and not necessarily like new age?
Absolutely. So I'm actually taking my main course, my main theology course right now is actually Christianity through its scriptures. So I'm very open to every faith and every religion. And I actually have a certification in spiritually integrative therapy for this reason, so that I can be open to every form of faith, but also know that sometimes faith or religion creates traumas. And that's something that I've worked through with clients very specifically at certain points also. So just because you grew up Christian, you had a traumatizing Christian upbringing, or just because you grew up Jewish and you had a traumatizing Jewish upbringing, doesn't mean that those religions are bad. It just means that that religion and that way of going about the religion didn't work for you as a child or as a young person. And a lot of times I try really hard to help people hold on to that faith or religion and build a new relationship with it that they actually enjoy.
And also kind of expanding a little bit more too, I know that I have a lot of listeners who are vets, and obviously vets have dealt with a lot as far as PTSD, other different types of mental trauma. At least with like your work, have you dealt with vets? Do you offer help for veterans, for example?
I do. I actually have a specific rate for veterans, which veterans reach out. I will talk to you about that. But I have a specific rate for veterans. And I do work with veterans and folks with PTSD pretty specifically because they have such poor cognitive architectures set up. And that is basically what's going on with PTSD for them, is that they have a system in their mind set up, the way that their thought patterns work, their thought pattern behaviors are set up to basically take them to trauma very quickly. To very deep traumas very quickly that are over compartmentalized and that dissociate very quickly. So basically what we would be working on is setting up different thought pattern tracks, train tracks, if you will, in your mind so that your mind doesn't always go to trauma so quickly.
And
yes, I absolutely work with veterans.
Perfect. I want to make sure that we got that one in there because I know that there's a lot of vets out there that need help, but they don't always know who to go to for it. And kind of expanding off of that too, it's pretty self-explanatory as far as like what you do and the type of people you help. But sometimes people just need to hear that too. For the people that are dealing with dark trauma, they feel suicidal, some vets are suicidal. Assumably, again, I just want to put the message out there for everybody that you're one of those people that they'd be able to reach out to if they needed help and they're in that dark place and they just really needed somebody to talk to.
Well, if you're suicidal, please reach out to Suicide Hotline or to 911 very specifically. You know, those are things that should be dealt with very directly and immediately. But I'm certainly someone that can work with folks on improving their mental health so that they aren't feeling in as dark or as sad or as scary a place.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. And we are back, so let's hop right in. Of course, got to do words of wisdom. Kind of leave everything on a high note. If you could give the listener some words of wisdom, what might those words of wisdom be?
I would say that the words of wisdom would be figure out how to know what your wholeness is. So what I mean by that is basically figure out what lets you feel whole as you are as a person and not requiring of another is the deepest wisdom that I've found in my life that has provided the best freedom for me. And of course, with freedom comes wellness, but you know, it's getting to a point where basically you don't feel like you need another person to feel like yourself.
I mean, that's one of those things. Everybody says it, but you can never truly love somebody until you learn how to love yourself first. And you can never Absolutely. Give them positive love until you've learned how to love yourself first. Because otherwise, you put all your insecurities on that other person that ends up being toxic. And nobody wants to be in a toxic relationship. Love yourself first, and then in turn, let that glow out and shine to the person that you want to love and care about.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. It's a cliche one, but it's worth repeating because a lot of people know it, but don't necessarily follow it.
Sometimes people just need to hear and be reminded once in a while, though. It's one of those kind of things. But kind of diving into the end a bit, if anybody wanted to come and book a session, they want to come and follow you on social media, check out your pages, all the cool stuff that you post, where can everybody come and find your website and where can everybody come and find you across social media?
So my website is www.moonandrune.com, and there's all sorts of podcasts on there, but there's also all sorts of information about the spiritually integrative therapy and also just fun resources for people to play with to sort of start on their spiritual awakening journey. And you can also find me on social media at my personal page where I share all sorts of art. I share my dancing. I share all sorts of creative outlets that I have, as well as just personal things. And that's at Mira Taylor Wellness. And then you can also follow my business page at Moon and Rune Wellness.
Well, I appreciate you making the time to come on today. It's been a long time. It was nice to catch up with you again. And I really respect your work, and I'm glad that you're out here helping people out in the best way that you possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, like I said, for those of you who are trying to meditate or who want that first point of contemplation, try and feel silence. And maybe there will be some silence that folks can find after this lovely podcast. But I really appreciate you having me on, and I really appreciate the topic because, you know, it's something that people have been talking about for a long time, and it's something that people talk about often, but they don't always necessarily follow through with it. So hopefully there will be a few folks who listen to this podcast and actually get serious about meditation and can try that first 3 minutes and what it means to just add on a minute every day and get yourself to a much longer period of meditation time over time.
I mean, just adding that context in the beginning between what is meditating, I mean, I feel like that probably cleared up a lot for a lot of people. So just off of that simple little bit, people didn't even realize they were already meditating. So, I mean,
yeah, exactly.
That's one of those things that it goes a long way.
If you guys enjoyed this episode, don't forget to leave a review or rating for the show on iTunes or Spotify. You guys can also share the show through word of mouth with friends, share this particular episode, share the entire show. No matter what you guys do, I appreciate it. And all of that stuff is going to continue to help make the show organically grow, make it so that more people are seen or being able to see the show, makes it so that I can get some bigger guests on the show. We can keep expanding the community and we can just keep chugging along and expanding the Open Minds Media / Inquiries of Our Reality family, friends, community, whatever you happen to want to call it. And if anybody wants to get a hold of me for any reason whatsoever, be it that you want to share some fan art, you want to have a conversation, you want to be a guest on the show, you want to have me as a guest on your show, or you want to sponsor the show, you guys can get a hold of me through email, which is inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com, or you guys get a hold of me through Instagram or Facebook. I am more active on Instagram, but both are definitely viable options. Or you guys can go to the link tree and fill out the submission form. Make sure you guys select the right one because there also is another one for reporting an encounter, which I also recommend doing, of course. And every single thing that I mentioned throughout the show is of all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, hope you guys enjoyed the conversation, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
You and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable. You need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.